QF Radio.
So this is a weight loss consultation that I normally do with my clients, and it's a very simple four-step system, and it's called weight loss in brackets, and it's maintenance made easy. So the maintenance part is because anyone can lose weight, you know, within a day or a week or however long it is, but it's keeping the weight off, which is the important thing. So this is a weight loss system. It's a lifestyle about how to lose weight and to maintain it. So there are four main steps, and I shall go through what they are. So first of all, just to tell you that diets don't work. A lot of people already know that, but they still diet, of course. Research show over the last 25 years that diets only have a 9% success rate documented. So that's 91% failure rate. And people still diet. It's a multi-billion dollar industry, of course. And people often gain more weight than before they dieted. Most people know that. If they don't know it, when they diet, they will soon know it, you know. So as I said, this is a four-step system. It's proven to be one of the most effective weight loss systems in the world. There's about 15 years of research in this. And it's developed by basically studying how naturally thin people eat, the latest psychological techniques. Basically, it's not only about diet and exercise for successful weight loss. It's about reprogramming your mind and, importantly, how you eat for diet success. So it's four steps is a lifestyle, and it's already helped countless of people already around the world, worldwide. And this has a 71% success rate. It's still not perfect, of course. The 29% it doesn't work for is because they don't do it. Okay, so you've got to be, if you want to be in that 71% to lose weight and keep it off, you've got to follow this plan. If you don't follow it like anything else, you're not going to succeed. So basically, I should go on. Step number one is, when you're hungry, eat. Now that might sound logical to you, but we're talking genuinely physically hungry, not from habit or prescribed times or cravings or when you're not really hungry or from emotion, for example. You've got to tune into your body, basically. Physical hunger comes on gradually and emotional hunger comes on suddenly, like you might be bored or you're stressed or you're lonely. Oh, what shall I eat? But check into your body, tune into your body. Well, am I really hungry? Or do I want to change the way I feel? So maybe you should just go and do something else other than eat. So with the emotional hunger and cravings, and I have some QEPR techniques to assist in this. So I do something called quantum emotional and physical release. So within that consultation, I also help people with cravings, which I can remove very quickly, and also emotional eating, and also some other psychological things to really get your mind on track with losing weight. So one of the first things you should do if you are hungry is check, are you really hungry or are you just thirsty? Because it's been discovered that the body's signal feels the same to you. You actually don't know whether it's actually hunger or thirst. So I suggest to people you drink 1 to 2 glasses of water anyway, approximately 15 minutes before you eat. And that can sometimes really take off the edge of the hunger. Sometimes you might not be as hungry as you thought. Or if you are still hungry 15 minutes later, then you are generally physically hungry. And of course, everybody knows they should be drinking about 1.5 liters of water a day, especially in a hot climate. So that will also curb their appetite. Never skip meals or wait until you're very hungry, because that can cause overeating, of course. And if you go hungry, your body thinks there's a famine and it goes into survival mode, basically, and it slows your metabolism and stores fat. So signal to your body there's always food available by eating when you're genuinely hungry. So definitely skipping meals, skipping breakfast, and saving up your calories for later or whatever else it might be does not work, because you will slow your metabolism and you will more than likely overeat when it comes to the next meal. So you must eat. If it's before lunchtime and you think, well, you know, I'm going out for a meal or in an hour's time, but I'm really hungry quite now, you've still got to eat. You cannot get very hungry. So you can eat a light snack, eat some almonds or cashew nuts, or eat something, whatever you want to eat. But never get hungry. Really, you should be living in a zone between slightly hungry and satisfied. Most people are too extreme. They're like starving hungry for whatever reason. They say, oh, they're too busy working or whatever else. They're bloated. That's too extreme. You've got to be in the middle, kind of slightly hungry to satisfied. And if you say, and there's no real excuse to not eat or skip breakfast or whatever, you've got to make time, because obviously people who want to diet, they want to lose weight, they're not happy with themselves, they're not happy with their weight, so they must put themselves first above everything else. Even if it's work, they've got to make the time to eat when they're hungry. bring something to work if you have to, but never, ever go hungry. Okay, so that was step number one. Step number two, and most people like this step, is there are no forbidden foods. You can eat whatever you like. Well, you can't do that. People say, oh my God, I can't eat whatever I like. Well, yes, you can, because food becomes more desirable when it's forbidden. Yeah? And, of course, you've got to follow all these four steps, by the way. You can't just have step number two and just eat whatever you like. And Paul said, I can eat whatever you like. Well, you know, you've got to do step one, two, three, and four. So unless you've been advised by your doctor, of course, eat whatever you wish, because restrictions around food cause deprivation and cravings, obsession, stress, and tension, which leads to more eating and guilt and more stress and deprivation and cravings and more eating. It's just like a vicious cycle. So this system is about eliminating negative feelings around food and being more relaxed to break that cycle. Food basically is to be enjoyed. It is there to be enjoyed, not to be something that you suffer and have to think around and count calories. That's not the aim of food. Food is really to be enjoyed and part of life. And basically, it's your body, you putting it what you want and when. So do not ignore the wisdom of your body. Listen to your body. No doctor, nobody really can tell you what to eat, unless, say, of course, for medical reasons. But listen to your body when you want to eat and what you want to eat. There was an experiment in Scandinavia, and for a month, the school were advised, you know, you can eat whatever you want for a whole month. And so, of course, the kids did, you know, they had a pizza and hamburger and everything else. And they looked at the statistics at the end of the month, and they found that all the children ate a completely balanced diet within that month. Of course, there were some times they ate more chocolate or more pizza or whatever, but there were times they said, well, can we have some vegetables, or can we have an apple? Or because it's impossible to eat ice cream the whole time and pizza the whole time, gorge out that kind of way. But generally, you know what is best for you. So you will know, okay, I feel like something else, something more fresher or cleaner. So on to step three. This is the most important step, and most people find it the most difficult. That's why it's probably the most important. And it is eat consciously, slowly. Do not distract yourself with TV, reading, the computer, talking on the phone, talking to other people, thinking about something else. When you eat, only focus on your food. That's very, very important. I mean, I know a lot of people that are on the computer or they're at work and they're eating their sandwiches and they're emailing or whatever else it is. You shouldn't be doing that. And if you're really serious and concerned about your weight, stop doing it. Most people, and it's a fact that most people think more about food than when they're actually eating. They're always planning ahead. What shall I have for lunch? What shall I have for dinner? But when it comes to eating it, they're mindless. It's mindless eating. They say they're watching TV or they're doing something else. And before they know it, their meal's gone. They think, oh, I wonder where that meal's gone. So eat slowly, about 30% of your normal speed for about 2 weeks, just for it to become a new habit, basically. So practice it. Chew each mouthful thoroughly, looking, smelling, savoring, enjoying the taste of every single mouthful. Eat like a gourmet chef. Enjoy it. So really enjoy that piece of cake if you want to, or that apple, or whatever it is you want. Slow it down. Practice, eat, and think like a gourmet chef. Now, of course, new habits take a bit of time. It's like you automatically put on your right shoe first, maybe then your left shoe. But that was just something you learned. And in time, you can unlearn to do that. If you just the next day think, I'm going to put on my left shoe. And then you put on your left shoe, and the next day you might forget. And then the next day you think, oh, I'm going to put on my left shoe. And it's going to take a bit of backwards and to and fro in a little bit. But eventually, you can just put on your left shoe, and it starts to become automatic nature. Now, most people I know who have a weight issue eat fast. And it's because they just learn to eat fast. It's a habit. So if you learn to do something, you can unlearn to do it, you know. So it just takes a little bit of time. And I can advise people, perhaps, if they say, well, I can't eat slowly. Well, of course, practice it. But eat the first part of their meal, their normal speed, and then slow it down for the second half or change it the other way around. And it does take a little bit of practice. Even when I started with this system, you know, I'd start eating really fast, and I think, oh, hang on. Slow it down. Then I slow it down. Then the next meal I'd eat fast again. I think, oh, hang on, slow it down. And so eventually it just become a habit. In fact, it just pops into my head. When I sit down, it's like the words eat slowly just pop into my head. So that's going to happen with your listeners. So pause between mouthfuls. Even put the food or cutlery down if you possibly can prise your fingers off the knife and fork or whatever else you're using. And take your hands off the food, you know, between bites if it's a sandwich, for example. So basically just slow it down. That's it. So also listen, practice, resensitize yourself to feel your body's full signal. And that does get easier. Because most people, when they eat fast, they don't realize that they've had enough, that their body has had enough. So by practicing and listening and, say, resensitizing your body, you will actually feel the full signal quicker, and then it will be almost impossible for you to eat more, because that's very important. They've done an experiment in several countries with truckers, lorry drivers, whereby they all invited them, a big group, for breakfast. And they said, whatever you want for breakfast in this transport cafe, eat. And they said, well, we'll have a full English breakfast, please. And so they all ate it, and they thoroughly enjoyed it. And so they said, okay, why don't you come back tomorrow? They said, okay, great. And so they invited them all back the next day. And they said, okay, whatever you want for breakfast, you can have it. And they said, well, I'll have the same, please, full English breakfast. They said, okay. But this time, while you're eating, we're going to blindfold you. Okay, and we're just going to see if there's any change. And so they said, when you've all had enough, just raise your hand. So they all ate their breakfasts, and in turn, they all put their hands up. And one by one, they took their blindfolds off, and not one person could finish his plate of food. Now, I'm not suggesting you'll eat blindfolded, though that might be a great thing. I mean, who knows? Really listen to your senses. But what happens is when they were blindfolded, of course, they weren't watching the TV, they weren't talking, weren't thinking about something else. They were actually totally focused on the food on their plate. And by doing that, they all felt the full signal a lot quicker than they normally would. One big truck driver, guy, he left 3/4 of his plate of food, and he was just so amazed. And so they've done this experiment countless of times. People just cannot finish their plate of food by paying attention to what they're eating. And interestingly, they all said that it didn't taste as good as it did the day before. You know, is it different food? You know, is it different chef? But no, everything was the same, of course, for this experiment. The fact is, when you slow your eating down, you do really start to taste the food, and it might become saltier than you're used to, or sweet. And so actually your food preferences might change for the better. You might want cleaner, fresher, healthier taste of foods without being forced to eat the fruit or the vegetables or whatever else it might be. So when you really slow your eating down, you really taste the food, your food preferences might actually change for the better naturally. And that's what this program is all about, is being natural. Okay, so basically check inside with yourself. And also, there's another tip you can do, is how would you feel an hour or so after eating a particular food, emotionally and physically? So if you already eat slowly, people say, well, I already eat slowly. If you're not losing weight, you need to slow it down even further to improve results. Okay, so really, you're still eating too fast. Okay, step number 4, and it might seem obvious to some people, but most people don't do this, is when you are full, stop. Never eat until you're stuffed or bloated, even if you have to leave some food, or part of the sandwich, or part of the cake, whatever it is, leave some food. In fact, I advise people to resign now from the Clean Plate Society. They have to. People, you can always store food or give it away. It never gets wasted, you know, it gets recycled, eaten by animals or insects or whatever. It goes back into the soil and it grows more food. And people say, I was taught it's impolite to leave food or whatever else it might be. In fact, in many cultures, it's actually considered polite to leave some food because, you know, I was in one country once and I finished my plate of food and they brought me some more. And I finished my plate of food and they brought me some more. And eventually the guy said to me, are you hungry? I said, well, not really. So why do you keep cleaning your plate then? You know, so that kind of taught me a lesson. But there is a psychological reason why you should always leave some of the sandwich or some rice or even if it's one baked potato on your plate. We're not talking about calories, of course, is that the fact that it sends an important message to your subconscious that there's always more food available, that it doesn't have to store it. If you clean your plate, your unconscious mind thinks, oh my gosh, you've eaten everything, there's no more food. Okay, it goes back to our survival days whereby, you know, we would kill a saber-toothed tiger, whatever it was, and we'd eat a little bit, and our metabolism could keep burning because we knew there was always food available. If we ate the whole saber-toothed tiger, we knew that there was no more food available, so we would have to store it and probably leach as much fat from the food that we ate as possible for the future. So it's very important to send that message to your unconscious mind that, okay, you can keep burning, keep your metabolism going, because obviously there's more food available because you've left a little bit, okay? So what to expect, basically. So those are the 4 rules. It's going to feel different at first to follow all of the 4 steps. However, most people feel good and more in control. Obviously, people are going to wonder how well it's working. And you will at some point forget to follow one or more of the steps. I leave some more, leave the food or eat more slowly, whatever it is. But basically, you know, you have 2 choices. You can feel bad about yourself, binge, or give up on the steps. and go back to your old ways, which, by the way, haven't worked before. Whatever you've done before, and if you haven't lost weight and you can't maintain it, you're not happy about it, then you don't need to keep going back to that same thing. So, or the second choice is realize you made a mistake and just be determined to get back onto these steps and continue with the program. Because, as I said, these will work. It's 71% success rate. You just got to do it. That's all. And it's easier to do than you can imagine. Just practice, okay? A little note about weighing yourself. Some people weigh themselves every day. I've even seen people weigh themselves 3 times a day, and they become obsessive about it. I've even seen one person in one resort I worked at. They stood on the scales and looked down, and then he took his keys out of his pocket and held his keys up as if that would make him any lighter, without even putting the keys down. He just held the keys up. And so that's the kind of strange things people do when it comes to weighing themselves. Your weight fluctuates daily and over a week, and you cannot get an accurate read on weight loss by checking every day. I've known people to gain and lose 2 kilos in the same day, especially women. Of course, checking your weight causes stress and tension and low self-esteem. You feel bad about yourself, and you think, oh, well, I put on an ounce. I might as well eat that Mars bar or whatever else it might be anyway. So I suggest people leave about 10 days before each weighing. People say, well, I can't leave 10 days. I want to know how much I weigh. Well, you know, you will know how much weight you've lost because your clothes will be looser. If it's of any significance in those 10 days, you know, people will mention, have you lost any weight? Well, I don't know. I haven't weighed myself. You know, and you know, people will compliment. So, you know, you will generally know if you've lost any weight. So resist, if you possibly can, weighing yourself. Another quick note about your metabolism. Your metabolism is the speed at which your body produces energy. It runs at a basal metabolic rate, basic rate, and it's not fixed. Some people come to me and say, I've got a slow metabolism, I've got a fast metabolism. Well, you've got a basic metabolism, but it's definitely not fixed. If you starve yourself and skip meals, your body will go into a self-preservation mode, and it will definitely slow your metabolism down. Okay, so if you eat when you're hungry, generally physically hungry, your body learns, has plenty of fuel, and it speeds up your metabolism because it knows energy will be replaced when and needed. Of course, exercise speeds up your metabolism. It's that horrible word, exercise. People hate it. A lot of people hate it. Some people love it, of course. But I can tell you a few things about exercise and this program is you don't have to go to the gym. Of course, it's great if you do, but if you don't have to, some people feel really disappointed in themselves. They think, I've got to go to the gym. They don't want to go to the gym for whatever reason. Of course, I have some psychological techniques in my QEPR treatment to help people go to the gym and feel better about themselves. But basically, to tell you, exercise is anything that you do that causes you to breathe more deeply than normally and will get your heart rate to speed up is exercise. So just think of some enjoyable ways to get your heart rate up and breathe a bit more deeply. And that is exercise, basically. It could be dancing, for example. And basically, you already exercise every day by moving your body. People say, I don't exercise. Well, actually, you get out of bed. That is actually exercise. The key is, of course, if you're overweight, is to move it more than you currently have been. Now, Europeans average 5,500 steps a day, which is about 45 minutes. And the difference between a healthy weight and overweight is an extra 2,000 steps or so more per day, which is equal to about a 20-minute walk. So I advise people actually to walk. If you don't like to exercise, everybody can walk. Most people can walk. They can walk around shopping malls, at the office, at home. Be creative and enjoy it. You can walk with somebody, listen to music, enjoy the quiet time, whatever it is. Just find ways to increase your steps. And studies have shown that a pedometer increases motivation by 23%. A pedometer is a little thing you can clip onto your belt or dress or wherever it is, and it counts your steps. And some people, they get competitive with themselves or they get competitive with other people. You can get, you know, a whole group in the office and, you know, everybody can get one of these things and just see how many steps you do a day. And you say you should be around the 7,500, 8,000 mark per day. And that will definitely help get the weight off. Okay, so that's the four-step program. Just to recap, it's step number one is when you're hungry, eat. That's genuinely physically hungry, not from emotion or at prescribed times or whatever else it might be. Check into your body. And I advise people to put a question mark on a post-it note and stick it on the fridge door or the cupboard. And that's just a quick reminder. To think, tune into their bodies and say, well, am I really hungry? Or again, do I want to change the way I feel? Well, go and read a book or watch TV or go for a walk, even better. Okay? And to say, if it's emotional hunger, that comes on quickly. Physical hunger comes on gradually. And I have my QEPR techniques, which are extraordinarily very effective for reducing any craving within minutes often, and also emotional eating. And step two, there are no forbidden foods, because that would just make food more desirable and make you crave it more, and you'll end up binging on that particular food. Step three, the most important step, eat consciously, slowly, really slow it down. Enjoy your food, which is meant to be enjoyed. Eat like a gourmet chef. And just practice, resensitize yourself to feel the body's full signal. That is really the key. Just practice, 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 and it will become second nature. As I said, like changing whichever shoe you put on first, you can just slow down your habit. It just became something you learned to do, you can unlearn it. And step four is, when you are full, stop. Never eat until you're stuffed or bloated. Leave some food on your plate, because, as I said, it sends an important message to your unconscious mind to keep burning your metabolism. I just want to give some of your listeners a little tip if they have any emotional eating. Of course, having a consultation with me or coming to this workshop, they're going to get more. But I can give a little tip now to reduce any cravings. And if any of your listeners now have a craving for something, it could even be a cigarette, by the way. So we could talk chocolate or whatever else it might be. Or they emotionally eat. I want them just to think about emotionally eating on a scale of 0 to 10. How much is it? Do they want to emotionally eat? 10 is maximum. They feel like they want to emotionally eat, or they emotionally eat. Or 0 to 10, they have a chocolate craving or whatever else, or bread. And I can just give them some very simple acupressure points. Now, by tapping certain acupressure points, it really balances your body, your nervous system, and the craving starts to magically, or the emotional eating, decrease, and it should, in fact, go altogether. So just give it a go. And this is a serious technique. I've used it on thousands and thousands of people. As some of you might already know, I've worked on celebrities. I worked on royalty. So it's not just some thing I've made up, you know. And it's also used on war veterans, for example, for their PTSD and trauma and stress relief. So it's a very serious technique. But however, we're going to do some cravings. And so you can listen to this again, or say, or come to the workshop and focus on a craving, 0 to 10. Where are you for your craving? And just tap the side of your hand like a karate chop, about 8 times. Yeah, the side of your hand. And just tap under your nose about 8 times as you think about your craving, whatever it could be. So it could be for a cigarette. And then tap under your eyes, right on the ridge of your eye socket, under your pupil. Then under your arm, about 10 centimeters, again about 8 times. And then lastly, under your collarbone. So there's like a soft point under your collarbone. And again, tap that about 8 times. All the time thinking about your craving. And it should, or emotional eating. And it should start to decrease. So once again, tap the side of your hand about 8 times. Under your nose. Under your eye. Under your arm. About 10 centimeters. And under your collarbone. As I said, this is a legitimate, serious technique. So I would definitely give it a go. And let us know how you got on, in fact. Now, I'm doing a Weight Loss Made Easy workshop at Shark Village on the 20th of March, Tuesday. First one is in the morning, 10 till 11:30, and then there's another one at 6 till 7:30 p.m. It's a 90-minute workshop, which I go through all of this and more. I'm also doing a corporate stress relief program at the Six Senses Spa, Shark Village, which includes a treatment with me, a specialized treatment for 50 minutes QEPR session, one signature massage, and one 30-minute nutritional consultation, which will be very useful. Of course, to add, if anybody wants more information, my website is quantumepr.com, or they can follow me on twitter.com/QEPR.
So that was me with Paul Emery. Well, I say me, but I was keeping stum through that whole thing. It was very difficult not to interject while he was talking, going through the whole process like it was a consultation. So pretty exclusive, because I know obviously like Paul's saying, he works with thousands of people. And I imagine that they're not particularly cheap consultations. So you've had it for free there here.